If You're Looking for a Show, written by Towards Morning, read by Brickgrass. Summary. Megs, back me up here, Rodimus says, like that's a reasonable expectation. Absolutely not, Megatron says. Thank you, Ratchet says. He sounds extremely annoyed, but Megatron can't tell if it's at having to thank him or at Rodimus. Both seem plausible. Ugh, you're so boring, Rodimus says. Come on, Megs, you've done way wilder shit than this. I know you change to alt, like, all the time. Who even does that? That's way harder than working out how to make sure I have the biggest rack on board. Hey, Megs, Rodimus says as soon as he opens the door, which absolutely never bodes well. And certainly not when the door in question is the locked one to his hab suite. It had been locked, Megatron is absolutely certain, but Rodimus has the override codes and no respect for the concept of privacy, so it doesn't tend to help. Get out, he says, looking back down at his datapad as soon as the overeager threat assessment protocols let him. Hopefully Rodimus hadn't noticed anything there. Treating Rodimus as a credible threat, even on instinct, is just embarrassing. The door closes behind Rodimus with the mech still in the room. Megatron stares at his datapad some more and makes sure not to look up. It takes very little to encourage Rodimus. Even eye contact counted as giving the mech attention and was a risk. Do you seriously not even have a chair? Rodimus asks, like he hadn't barged in here repeatedly over the past few months and is now somehow surprised to find Megatron's hab as it always has been. I mean, literally, not even one? Is it too depressing to keep one around when nobody comes to visit or something? Would it kill you to... Megatron dials his audios down enough that Rodimus, while still audible, is a lot easier to ignore. He's read the same sentence 3 times trying not to get distracted. This way, whatever Rodimus wants to prattle on about can at least be tuned out. If it were an emergency, Ultramagnus would have come by now. A full 5 minutes pass like this. He manages 2 pages, and Rodimus apparently gets to the end of whatever he's saying. In the ensuing pause, Megatron reluctantly turns his audios back to full volume and risks glancing up. Rodimus is leaning against a wall trying to look casual, which he seems to think he's very good at, and which always makes him look laughably overeager. Is that all? Megatron asks when Rodimus doesn't continue. Thank Primus. Hopefully the answer will be yes, and he'll leave. It happens. Occasionally. Megatron has recorded the whole thing into passive memory. He can scrub through it later in case there's anything in there he needs to step in and address. He'd learned that trick after tuning Rodimus out wholesale had resulted in him not realizing that he had in fact been warned in advance about Rodimus' plan to stress test the sprinkler system by way of showing off his outlier ability at swerves and simply not heard it. Yep, Rodimus says. He doesn't actually leave, just keeps standing there. Megatron gives in to the urge to roll his optics. Go on, then, he says, nodding at the door. Strangely, Rodimus perks up at that. I'm busy, he adds, but Rodimus is already leaving. Cool, great, he says. And then just as he opens the door to leave, unusually capable of taking a hint today, he calls over his shoulder. I'll send you the appointment when Ratch lets me know, okay? The door closes before Megatron can respond. He holds out on opening up the memory dump to check what the hell Rodimus apparently interpreted that as agreement to for a good 10 seconds. It makes him feel a little bit less like he's panicking, which he certainly doesn't waste time doing about anything that idiot says. Absolutely not. When the date comes 2 days later, Megatron debates turning up for long enough that Rodimus is actually there when he does reluctantly enter the consultation room off the medbay proper. Given that the mech in question is Rodimus, this makes him late enough that he actually does feel somewhat guilty. This is almost certainly just a side effect of spending time around Ultramagnus. He refuses to read into it. Both Rodimus and Ratchet turn from glaring at each other to look at him. Ratchet in surprise, Rodimus in smug glee. Oh, Ratchet says, frowning. You weren't kidding. Told you, Rodimus says, looking disconcertingly glad at Megatron's presence. The smugness goes some way to explaining that when Rodimus continues, I told you he'd come, didn't I? I don't see why he did, Ratchet says. He's clearly been dealing with Rodimus for a little while already. He's audibly annoyed. There's really no point. What do you even invite him for? Good question, Megatron says. He sits down, looking to Rodimus. The mech is near vibrating, tossing some trinket from one hand to another incessantly. I don't see what any of this has to do with me. Rodimus is about to say something when Ratchet cuts in. Everyone else said no. That brings Megatron up short. Rodimus as well as confirms its truth when the smugness immediately gives way to a scowl. Ratchet continues. Because like I said, Rodimus, there's no reason anyone else needs to help you, and I quote, pick out a sweet new frame with baller tits. It barely even counts as a reframe. It'll take 20 minutes once I get the actual replacement parts made. Yes, that was about the phrasing Rodimus had used when Megatron listened back. He'd had to look up the ridiculous organic slang and had immediately regretted doing so. He has a niggling suspicion Rodimus only uses it in the hopes that people will do that. Rather than comment on that bit of crassness, Megatron says, I don't know what you expect me to contribute to this. It seems very straightforward and also not my business. Several mechs on the ship have done just this, since they acquired some Kamian crew members and the whole topic had come up. As far as Megatron can tell, it had been nothing but a few explanations about what she meant, and a few minor adjustments to one's frame in a couple of cases. Nothing particularly noticeable, even. Rodimus deciding to follow that shouldn't really be anything more than an update to the crew information and a quick memo to everyone. Still showed up, though, Rodimus says, smug again. Megatron wonders if she realizes how telling it is when she gets so proud of such a bare scrap of reluctant attention. Almost certainly not. The obvious response would be, because you didn't respond to the 3 messages I sent, asking why the pit you asked that. But it would reveal to Ratchet that he'd cared enough to send 3 of them, so Megatron refrains. Instead, he asks the obvious. What exactly do you think I'm supposed to contribute here? Well, you've reframed what, 100 times, probably? Rodimus says. Right? Anyway, tell Ratchet he's being dumb. For the love of... Ratchet pinches the bridge of his nose, visibly gathering himself. Megatron changing alt modes every 5 minutes like a lunatic has nothing to do with the fact that I don't have anything on hand to reinforce your spinal strut, Rodimus. I'm sorry, Megatron says, which is true in its own way, watching this conversation. What is this about? He's being dumb, Rodimus repeats. It'll be fine. It'll break your damn spine, and I'm not fixing it when it does, Ratchet says. Because I'm not adding that much weight onto you. Your last reframe already lowered your weight-bearing capacity. I'm not adding that much metal on top. Megatron glances at the data pad Ratchet is holding up. The blueprints are... Ah, right. Of course Rodimus would be completely incapable of accepting a standard reframe, and would instead go straight to extremes. The frame it shows as a mock-up looks near physically impossible. Megs, back me up here, Rodimus says, as though that's a reasonable expectation. Absolutely not, Megatron says. Thank you, Ratchet says. He sounds extremely annoyed, but Megatron can't tell if it's at having to thank him or at Rodimus. Both seem plausible. Ugh, you're so boring, Rodimus says. Come on, Megs, you've done way wilder shit than this. I know you changed alt, like, all the time. Who even does that? That's way harder than working out how to make sure I have the biggest rack on board. That's enough, Megatron says, cutting in. That's not even... Cybertronians don't even have That has nothing to do with alt modes. Just do as Ratchet says and stop being ridiculous. The defensiveness he feels at the mention of his reformat is irrational, and he refuses to let it show. He tamps it down and continues. Changing your entire frame, as in a reformat, requires facilities we don't have. If you were changing alt, we wouldn't even be able to do that on the ship. You're just changing out some armor. This is ridiculous. Rude, Rodimus says. What's even the point if I don't take advantage? Go all out or don't bother. Also, it's basically the same. No one changes alt for no reason. Functionist talk, Megatron says, dismissive. Don't tell me you're one of those people who bleats on about sparks and fated frames and such. Enough of his own medics had tried to argue that sort of nonsense when he went in needing something new. For the war effort. Glit had been terrible for it, always simpering about this or that piece of council propaganda, about poor, inadequate cold constructs not adapting to their frames properly. Shockwave might have been a nightmare, but at least he had never bothered with all that when Megatron told him he'd run the simulations and needed to be a tank next time he went out on the field. Ratchet is looking at him sidelong. His face is neutral. Megatron squashes the urge to assume his thought process. Rodimus, surprisingly, also doesn't say anything in response. She cocks her head like she's thinking about it, but for once manages to keep her mouth shut. Megatron hates how discomforted he is at the silence as she looks at him. Sometimes, Rodimus puts her nonsense on hold for just a moment, and it's always uncanny, even as Megatron wishes she'd do it more often. After a long pause, she throws her hands up. Fine, she says. But next time we're on Cybertron, I'm getting a damn upgrade, and then... Excellent, Megatron says, and leaves. A waste of time, but at least it's done now, and Rodimus won't wind up flat on her back with a snapped strut because of her commitment to ridiculous, overblown showmanship. On his way back to his quarters, he checks. And of course Rodimus hasn't updated her own crew profile. He does it for her, just to make sure it's done at all. Two weeks later, Megatron's Hapsuite door slides back. Ta-da! Rodimus says. That's not what override codes are for, Megatron says. And I know for a fact Ultra Magnus has told you as much as recently as last week. She's fresh from the medbay. The paint on her reframe is all undercoat. She hasn't even touched it up yet. Megatron tries not to let her obvious excitement get under his plating, since she decided to exercise it by breaking into his room and disturbing him. Are you seriously just sitting in the dark? She asks. Is this what you do? What the hell, dude? I was going to recharge, he says. It's not untrue. He's on his recharge slab. At some point, that was going to happen tonight. Whatever, she says, turning the lights on and striking a pose. She doesn't look all that different to Megatron's eyes, but then he doesn't particularly grasp the nuances. It seems the only people who do are the ones who go in for this sort of thing, from what he can tell. He nods anyway. He's not incapable of tact. Congratulations, he says, and when she beams, adds, not least of all on refraining from breaking your spine for no good reason. The barb doesn't seem to land at all. She must be happy indeed. Normally she'd jump on the chance to shoot one back. Great, right? She says, and looks around. Seriously, can you at least get a stool in here or something? Jeez. Did you need something? He asks, flicking the lights back off. It's rhetorical. She had needed to show off. She's done as much now. She can leave immediately as far as Megatron is concerned. The dimness of the room only makes her eyes narrowing stand out more. Eh, not really, she says after a pause. Just, I stopped by Rungs on the way here. By the way, did you know? Ten made him this little Lost Light figure for his nerdy collection he has. It's... Then if there's nothing else, I'm busy. Megatron interrupts. Thought you were recharging, Rodimus says, dropping the inevitable ramble immediately. Leave. Megatron grits out, finally at the end of his patience. As usual, it happened much sooner than he'd like, but Primus save him, she has honed the skill of outstaying her welcome. Yeah, I'll go in a sec. Like I said, I stopped by Rungs on the way here, and in between all that, I mentioned your little problem to him, and when he got done telling me off for bringing it up without you around or whatever, he... Megatron stands up without consciously realizing it, and strides over to haul her out by the arm. At some point in all that, she'd gone into her subspace, and her hand is full of data pads showing pamphlets. In the sudden bright light of the corridor, he can clearly see a triumphant grin. He said to drop by any time. She calls as he closes the door and leaves her out there. No need to be scared. Take it from me. In the blessed Rodimus-free darkness of his hab, Megatron hears that last part and reassures himself that he has not been on this ship long enough to stoop low enough for the implicit challenge to get to him. Absolutely, definitely not. When he sees she left one on the floor as he escorted her out, he proves it by walking straight past and not looking at it once, and when his own datapad lights up with a comm message with them thoughtfully attached, he turns over, plugs into the berth, and the newfound irritation at her making something so, making that a challenge, only lasts until he falls into recharge. The end. Thanks for listening.
Ah!
My first podvic. In years. Years and years and years.